Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush.
I feel like Ron Burgundy when everybody gets in here. News team assemble.
And Kelly Gramlich.
Do we have enough time? We only have 3 hours.
Yeah.
Now, Quack and Kelly, 105.5, The Roar.
Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house.
Morning comes and you know that you wanna stay. Close the blinds, let's pretend that the time has changed. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Let's continue tonight, come on, celebrate.
That's how we do.
Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in.
Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It is Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We are live in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions studios. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Check them out today for all your security needs. Home business doesn't matter. Blue Ridge going to hook you up for show. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Check them out today. National level service. From a local company. That's what you want. That's what you're getting from Blue Ridge. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Oh, at Wimbledon, Kerber, the number one seed, goes down today. How about that? Didn't realize that was happening, which means that the pathway is secure for the stars to align and the planets to align and Venus to triumph.
Venus.
Do you think Venus won her match today? I'm watching it right now. I don't know anything about any scores from Wimbledon. I'm just watching the lunchtime at Wimbledon.
Tea time.
She did. 6-3, 6-2.
Tea and crumpets.
She won in a round of 16, so she's in a round of 8 as a seed that should not be in a round of 8.
Have I told you why I love Venus so much?
No.
Have I detailed
we
this?
We have never. I don't even know that Coco Vandeweghe and Caroline Wozniacki. That's much CTV right there. And you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead. Why do you love Venus so much?
Terrible. It's a real easy reason why I love Venus. Venus and Serena were in their heyday, what, mid-2000s, early 2000s, when they were playing in Grand Slam finals all the time?
Yes.
And I love Venus because I'm the older sibling that had a really talented younger sibling. And so I always rooted for the older sibling to kind of hold serve, to hold court, to say, no, no, I'm older, I'm more dominant, I'm the best. And after a while, it was really tough for Venus, you know, because Serena took over. And so as one who had a very talented younger sibling, I always rooted for Venus. That was my thing.
In the, I want to go back to that just for a moment because I feel like that's so interesting. And I would have never... Well, I will just say I would never have guessed that Venus was your favorite, but it makes perfect sense now. It does.
I mean, like there were times, let's just say my brother was very good at basketball. And I just felt that it was tough sometimes for the older sibling to stay relevant, you know, to stay on top. And so I always rooted for Venus. Venus was me and John was Serena.
Like what kids when I was growing up saying, I'd like to be like Mike. Yours was Venus.
Yeah, I was Venus.
I am he and he is me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Vandeweghe beat Wozniacki. So now she's carrying the torch for the, you know, the kind of racy sports blogs with the with Wimbledon.
Really?
I don't know this. Are there, like, when you have these tournaments like this, are there sports blogs for females where they point out, like, the sexiest guys who are playing?
There probably are. I just haven't paid enough attention to Wimbledon. I mean, like, you know, tennis has some good-looking guys. Federer.
Yeah.
Nadal.
Right.
I would say Nadal.
Okay.
Djokovic, I mean, he's, I would say Nadal and Federer are up there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the difference is, you know, Nadal and Federer aren't out there in short skirts.
I want to see Coco and Venus. Give me Coco and Venus. Vandeweghe.
I imagine.
Versus Venus. Mostly because her, like, her dad is an NBA exec, Kiki Vandeweghe, former Nuggets player, former executive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Coco and Venus. Give me that in the final. A little American flair in the final. So they could meet.
That's what we always root for. Americans in tennis finals because it can be rare.
Or Andy Murray. I always root for Murray because, like, the hometown. I like the hometown.
Even after...
Or home
the recent
country, home nation.
Celebration of Dependence Day and then Independence Day. You're still rooting for Andy Murray?
I still root.
For a Brit?
I got nothing wrong with Britain. They were oppressive multiple centuries ago. I'm not holding that over people now.
So you're not holding a grudge anymore against Britain?
No, absolutely not. They hate us because they ain't us, but that's fine.
True.
That's fine.
Well, and it's tough for men's tennis because there's just no Americans really to root for.
I know.
It's almost like we've adopted Roger Federer as an American, but he's definitely not.
It's like you take the
where's the Pete Sampras's, the Andre Agassiz? Where are those guys?
I mean,
John McEnroe.
We thought it was going to be Roddick, and Roddick never really took hold.
We wanted Roddick to be the heir so bad. It's almost like he was the Spieth.
James Blake was that guy. He's kind of fallen off a little bit. I don't know. We don't have anybody for men's tennis here in America. I'm not sure that I plan to start with 5 minutes of Wimbledon. But that happened. When the number one seed gets out, it's breaking news. Because it probably happened hours ago and I wasn't watching.
But sadly, I just wonder how many of our listeners even knew. I didn't really know / care. Wimbledon is just, I think we're so over, first of all, Serena's not playing, but we're so over Serena winning. So that part isn't really exciting. And there's just no American men to get people pumped.
It's kind of like people said, ooh, now that Tiger's out. When Tiger's in his prime, ooh, Tiger's out. Now it opens it up to the field and the ratings they went down.
But at least we have some Americans in the golf field that we can root for.
Sure. Absolutely. 654-ROAR is the number you want to get in throughout the course of the program. 654-7627 on the Northland Communication phone lines. You can text the program, 986-1566. That's 986-1566. At Quag Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar. We encourage you to join us via Twitter as well during the program today. Much to discuss. How was your weekend? Did you have a great weekend? The first post-July 4th weekend, it felt like we had a weekend and then a weekend and then a weekend.
It was kind of off because you had 4th of July, which was weird, right smack in the middle. Then you had another weekend. I will say I spent this weekend kind of recuperating from my birthday weekend and 4th of July. It's a big time of year for me. And so I kind of just spent it relaxing, hit the links a little bit, home course, Woodhaven, shout out, and just kind of relaxed, got ready for the new week and for ACC kickoff this week, which we are pumped about.
We're really pumped up. We're going to be broadcasting live Thursday and Friday. Still, we're anticipating knowing our schedule at some point. We may not know exactly what it is till we get there, but we're looking forward to a jam-packed schedule of interviews for 2 whole days, and we'll be broadcasting 3 hours of that time, but it is by no means a 3-hour workday in any way, shape, or form. But we are so, so excited to be back at the ACC football kickoff at 12-3 live.
We are super pumped. And we'll go through, you have to submit a list, right, of the coaches and players you want in a certain order. So you kind of rank them. And so we could go through that maybe Wednesday and give you guys a sneak peek as to who we put first.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Obviously, Clemson people first. But then after that, you know, where do we put Lamar Jackson? Coaches, I think, was a good one. I told you, I said flat out, Quack, I'm bored with Jimbo Fisher. Don't even put a number
did.
Two.
You
did.
You bored. You had some weird.
He's going to say the same thing over and over again.
You were like,
I want to interview Bobby Petrino. I want to get face to face with the urban legend that he is, and just kind of, I want to ask him some hard hitting questions.
I was stunned that you wanted to have FaceTime with Bob Petrino, and couldn't care less about Jimbo.
I mean, not because he's a great human, just because I'm intrigued.
And Ben Milstead basically took the masochistic route, and he's like, boy, you really need Doran a little higher on the list. Oh my gosh.
I want to see you handle an interview with Doran.
If the most breaking news happened at NC State and there was literally no way that any bad interview could come out of it, that we would get something good, Doran would still give a bad interview. If there was no chance to have a bad interview, there's a 0% chance that we go away from this going, this is a colossal waste of time. It would be a colossal waste of time. He is the most boring coach in the league by leaps and bounds. Even guys like that seem boring, like Dave Clawson.
Quack. Last year, and while maybe don't listen to us for this little segment, but PJ was so boring.
We got him early.
Paul Johnson was he was sleepwalking.
He was not. You got a bad PJ.
All right.
You got a bad PJ. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You got the PJ that people expect. I have gotten the PJ later in the day in a scheduled interview. He kind of squeezed us in between two interviews. The SID kind of was like, hey, is Paul on your schedule? And he was on for later in the day. He said, can we go ahead and squeeze him in because he'd like to leave? You know, so they were trying to squeeze in his afternoons, and that will happen on Friday where we'll get a lot of our interviews done because coaches want to leave as quickly as possible. And so PJ, it was like 8:30 or something. It was before we even got on the air live, or maybe right as we were getting on the air. He's on there, and you could tell that he was just not up for it today. So you got a bad. I don't blame you for having that opinion of Paul Johnson. I don't blame you for that at all. But I will say, give the man another chance.
Okay, I will.
We may not get him this year. We get him about every other year. It seems.
I mean, so last year was PJ coming off 3-9, and this year he's coming off a bowl eligible year, so he might be in a better mood. The best one that we had last year was Dino Babers. He was awesome.
Dino was good. Narduzzi was good. And obviously, we don't even count Dabo because we see him every day.
Duh.
Right.
I don't want Narduzzi this year, though, because I don't want to have to ask about the game. I don't want to talk to any Pitt people.
Don't you want to talk to him, though?
Not really.
Like, what did you do? How did you do it? What did you do?
They're not going to know.
When your boy, Matt Canada, when he went to LSU, did he burn the files? So that only he knows how you beat Clemson. And so that nobody else, whoever's next, can't steal the files.
I kind of want to talk to Doran mainly to be like, how did you not do it? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, how are you such a choke artist against Clemson? How is your team so mentally inept and so emotionally dead inside that you can't make a kick or you can't convert? That people in the press box were legitimately, with 100% certainty, guaranteeing that you would lose as your kicker was lining up for essentially a straight-on, dead-on, chip-shot field goal to win a game where you were the better team. How are people 100% confident that you're going to lose under your leadership?
I mean, more than
How's
that.
How's that possible?
NC State had, what, 4 losses last year by 7 or less points? So that would be that'd be a way to kind of frame that interview with Doran without making him mad, which would be really fun to see us navigate. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that. I may just run to the restroom during that one.
Yeah.
I may just leave you out on an island there.
We'll keep you guys posted if we get Doran, because that'd be really fun.
Oh, man. I have found a happy medium where Doran is high enough on our list that we might get him, and low enough that if we don't, it is not going to be the end of the world. And I am uncomfortable with how high he is on the list. He's like 9th out of the 14 coaches.
We do play them every year, so it would be, it would be smart to have him on to pick his brain.
He is the lowest among the coaches on our schedule. He's the one I have the lowest among coaches on our schedule because I just don't care what he thinks. And Clawson. I mean, yeah. God bless him.
God bless
You're taking
bless
Cam Serigne and, basically the ghost runner on second. Like,
well,
that's who you're taking to the...
I mean,
the ACC football kickoff at Wake Forest.
We could ask Clawson, though, if they figured out their mole situation.
You're coming up with all these questions that, like, coaches are going to get up and walk away from the table.
I'm obviously kidding. I'm not going to ask Wake Forest, hey, did you figure out who the mole was? Well, obviously, they know who the mole is.
How do you keep something like that from happening again?
What was your first thought when you heard about Wakey Gate?
What were you thinking? How do you let that happen under your watch?
I talk a big game, but, if we have Doran, I'm going to be like, I've loved what you've done at NC State over the past 5 years. You've been wonderful. Love the offense. Love what you're doing. Ryan Finley.
Did you like the red carpet?
Right.
Was it red enough for you when we rolled it down for you? It would be like that.
I talk a big game.
And you know what? I've learned that, you don't want to make enemies.
No, not at all.
But
and
you know
we
something?
Joke. We joke.
And that's why, people might think I'm being unfairly, I'm unfairly blessing Paul Johnson right now because he does seem like a boring guy and
he wasn't great
on the air with us. But I give coaches the benefit of the doubt all the time that is a hard event, especially if you're not overwhelmingly personable anyway. You're coming to a station that very clearly, under no circumstances, is fair to you, right? It's obviously the Clemson station. It's not going to be student radio. Like, people were asking us last year
if it was student radio. Goal number one. Do not get asked if we are student radio this year.
A lot of times.
That is goal number one.
A lot of times I trim my beard to go to places like that. I think I'm just going to let it grow just so that I don't look like a child.
Well, you gave me false information last year as to how we're supposed to dress.
I think I just gave you no info. I'm pretty sure I just didn't tell you anything.
I will not be decked out in full blatant orange and purple this year. I will try to dress a little more neutral. And a little, I don't know, just so people don't. I do think when we're both rocking Tiger Paws, it is kind of awkward for Dalvin Cook to sit down with us.
Yeah, it's really awkward. It's really awkward.
So we learned our lesson.
Yeah.
But you kind of gave me some false info.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I just didn't tell you because I don't think about that stuff.
I'm going to wear a Clemson polo. I said, okay.
I'm going to wear a station polo. But I brought the navy one and the gray one and not the bright orange one.
I'm going to be so neutral this year, I'm going to look like a Wake Forest fan. I'm telling you.
Dave Clawson, all you guys are with us. Nice.
Black and white.
Clawson's going to feel right at home. Anyway, we've got much more on that. SEC Media Day starts today. One of the greatest tweets I've seen is that, wonder if SEC Media Day is going to leave a little more than 2 minutes on the clock so the ACC can put one out in the end. Bama. That was a great tweet. Boom. That wasn't mine. And I didn't even retweet it because I thought it was that good. I was like, I'm gonna let people see this on their own.
More than ever, is this going to be the year where everybody at SEC Media Days is just trying to convince everyone else that everything's okay?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of consoling.
The ship is not sinking. We're fine. Everything's good. Look at all the talent. Look at the quarterbacks. It's not just Alabama and their little brothers.
You know what's funny is that you could say a lot of things about the SEC this year. We'll talk about that during the show today. That you said about the ACC last year in terms of quarterbacks and who's coming back and stuff like that. We'll get into that. Before we go any further, I have to say this. Over the weekend, you've never seen me at a wedding, have you?
No.
I've never been to a wedding with you.
Okay. But I've seen some coverage.
Okay. Have you heard things about me at weddings?
I have heard things.
What did you hear about wedding?
I've heard that you are that sober guy who is breaking it down. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I actually saw some video of you at a wedding this past weekend, an SID wedding, a Clemson SID wedding.
It was. First of all, the Clemson Sports Information Office from 2007, that's when I started, from 2007 to about 2013, is essentially the Match game or Match.com, where we're all getting married. That's two weddings that have been consummated with people who worked in the same office. Consummated. Two weddings that are officially done. I mean, the Bradleys.
Oh, yeah.
The Bradleys and the Simpsons. They're both American.
That's
crazy. And we all work together. So we're all, like, there was a, legitimately, I'm ushering at this wedding. I'm one of the groomsmen at this wedding. And there was a row of almost all sports information that Tim Beray was in attendance. You had Phil Sykes in attendance and their families. Jeff Callum was in attendance. Will Vandevor was in attendance. Big family affair. It was nice. It was really nice. And as a part of this, like, you always need people to set the tone in terms of dancing. So, like, you know, you will get the, you will, especially at dry white weddings, okay? This is just how it is. Like, if you're at a dry wedding with white people, that normally moms will get into the cha-cha slide, the Cupid shuffle, those types of things. It takes somebody to do something crazy to, like, coax people around the dance floor so that the other people dancing don't feel uncomfortable.
So do you feel that is your job?
Sometimes. Now, I have a cousin who is better at this than me. He just is more comfortable in his own skin, and he will get out there and he will act a fool. Like, if he's at a wedding this weekend, you remember that he was there if you're there with him, because he gets on the dance floor and does something crazy, okay? So at this wedding, you know, the stuff like the Cupid Shuffle or...
That's the video I saw of you breaking it down, Mr. The Cupid Shuffle.
The wobble. I mean, like, you do all these things. And, yeah, I mean, there are people that just go through the motions, but why would you do that? Why would you do that? One of the great hidden talents that I have that's becoming more prevalent in life is that I'm not the worst dancer. And you would not know that from looking at me in public. Chase is shaking his head. You're looking at me like, I don't know.
I think that's a bold claim.
No.
But I've seen you dance. I'm asking myself. I've seen you dance. You're not the worst. You're not the worst dancer in the world.
I'm not the worst dancer.
But to put yourself in maybe that top 50 percentile is a little generous.
Well, I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to go on Dancing with the Stars. I'm not trying to be Tiki Barber, whoever.
That's what I'm saying. Are you better than average? Or are you just average?
I don't know.
People assume you're bad.
I feel like average. I feel like dancing at weddings, especially when people are not consuming alcohol, is like 80% desire, want to, and heart.
That's the thing. I feel like you would thrive at a dry white wedding, but any other type of wedding, either non-dry or non-majority white, that's your comfort area. That's your zone. That's where you thrive.
Right.
Yeah. So you admit that.
I do. And you know something? It's really nice. Like when you go to weddings and you're single, like you're not really trying to impress anybody, but you're always kind of looking. You know, like moms love you because you look like you're just having a lot of fun out there. The ladies like it. You know, it's fun. It's really fun. It's fun to do that. And so there's really no reason not to just go ham at these weddings on the dance floor. Now, I didn't know that I was going to be videoed for like 5 seconds of the Cupid Shuffle doing something crazy. And that my buddy Trey was going to tweet it out to whoever. But when he tweeted out, I was like, shoot, I'm just going to own this. I'm owning it. And so I got some pretty unique comments on Twitter from that.
Did you RT it?
I did.
I'm going to go retweet that from the station account. So okay. If anyone wants to see.
All right. I know TCI did it.
Breaking it down.
And then, you know something? I may have tried a little bit too hard at this particular wedding. I may have, because there are other things that happen where if you're like watching from 1,000 feet away, you're going to be like, God, that guy is way too intense about this. Like I caught the garter, okay? But I did it on the ground.
Really?
Yeah, I did it on the ground. I was like, it was basically a get on the floor moment.
That's not something you just slide in there, Quack. That's big news.
Now, for those who don't know, I feel like throwing the garter at weddings has gotten worse and worse. Like, people can't do it anymore. So if you're in the front, you're going to get it, right? I was in the front, not necessarily by design, but that's just where I ended up. Everybody filled in behind me, all the single guys. And so I got to give him a shout. Jonathan, one of the groomsmen, he was kind of behind me, and I boxed him out. He's a smaller guy, right? Smaller guy. I boxed him out. And when the thing hit the floor, instead of, like, I was just going to run over and pick it up because I'm the closest one to it, he gave me the little Rasheed Wallace, like, Bill Laimbeer, dirty pool, shove in the back. So I go sprawling on the ground. It looked like I legitimately dove on the floor for the garter at this wedding. So I feel like it looks like I tried too hard. I just, I enjoy myself at weddings. I enjoy catching a garter and showing my athletic prowess. And I especially enjoy being the life of the dance floor. I appreciate Twitter helping me out with that. David and Seneca, he's a smaller guy. Are you a bigger guy? That's true. That's true. We just actually had a conversation about that very thing.
You are pounding that 12 count over there.
Pounding that 12 count, baby. Give it at number 3. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, if you're a CDL driver looking for a proven company to work for, HiCon Transportation is looking for you. HiCon's a family-owned company. They've doubled in size over the past 2 years. Any quality drivers immediately. Round-trip dedicated, local, overnight stays, 40 cents per mile. Earn monthly bonuses and much, much more. 100% track record, highly reputable and recognizable companies. HiCon Transportation is a safe bet for your career. Why don't you email your qualifications to recruiting@hicontransport.com. recruiting@hicontransport.com. Call them 864-540-8194. All right, short break. We'll come back. In 3 years, which Lawrence will be the most impactful Lawrence for Clemson? Kelly has her answer. We will discuss, and you can go on our Twitter @1055TheRoar and vote on a poll. More of that discussion when we return next.
Dr. Frank Armacita with the Surgery Center at Pelham on what it means to you as a patient.
I helped develop our outpatient joint replacement program. Our patients are a priority, and it's my goal as an orthopedic surgeon to offer treatment options. Qualified candidates go home the same day. You will be up and walking before we send you home.
The Surgery Center at Pelham, ideal for athletes and active people who want to get back to their old routines. NewKneeReplacement.com.
There's never been a better time to buy from George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less and travelers rest. Like 2017 F-150s, starting at just $23,560. And remember, there are never any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. 2017 F-150s starting at just $23,560. Serving you for over 85 years and four generations. George Coleman Ford, for the ride of a lifetime. Offer good through October 2nd.
Rely on EnviroMulch. They supply quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their spring special, get double ground hardwood mulch for a dollar off per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch. Go Tigers!
I'm Eddie Bennett. Thank you for helping me and my associates grow our business into its 18th year. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to become the go-to dealer for Takeuchi Equipment. We're proud to offer equipment rental, sales, and repair. In many cases, right there on your job site. And you've enabled Bennett Equipment to grow into a third location in Seneca, which will be open in August. We're online at BennettEquipment.net. Thank you, and remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
Palmetto Paints is now open at 802A South Batesville Road at Thornblade Commons. Put their 32 years of experience to work for you. Whether you're a contractor or do-it-yourselfer, Palmetto Paints has the advice and products to master any painting project. Need accessories or custom color match? Palmetto Paints can recommend the right tools and match your colors. They will even come to your job site and offer helpful advice. Call Palmetto Paints at 469-7358 or stop by at Thornblade Commons across from Zaxby's.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Does your home have wall cracks, uneven floors, or doors and windows that are sticking? These are all signs that a foundation problem is stealing value from your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 475-1671. We know your home is your number one investment, and we can help protect it. Don't wait for a foundation problem to get worse. If you have sagging floors or cracks in your sheetrock, call Canty Foundation Specialist, 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramling.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
Now, back to Quack and Kelly on 105.5 The Roar.
Them jeans are fading in all the right places. All right, two or three minutes from now, apparently a surprise is coming on SEC Network. I don't know what this is. Tony Barnhart just tweeted out just moments ago, make sure you're watching the SEC Network at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. A little surprise coming up. So maybe it's not a big surprise, maybe just a little tiny surprise. I don't know what he means by that, but I'll take the bait.
What could it be?
I'll take the bait on this.
Feinbaum hair plugs? I don't know.
Feinbaum hair plugs.
I mean, I'm just thinking of stuff that would be surprising. If I saw Paul Feinbaum with hair, I'd be very surprised.
So that's your guess.
I mean, how surprising can it be? It's not going to be like...
Well, he said little surprise.
Oh, well, that would be little. You know, a big surprise would be Nick Saban retires or something crazy.
That's true. And we would have seen that on Twitter already.
Yes.
That would not be something that we're holding on to. Proprietary information. That's going to come out at some point. So, like a minute from now, we're going to have this little surprise, whatever it is. We'll let you know what that is as we go live. You are looking live at SEC Media Days.
Quack, real quick, before we go any further, yes. I do want to reassure some listeners. We've had a few texts of just some worried texts that Seminole Ted said, Kelly, don't get on a motorcycle with Bobby Petrino, whatever you do. And I got another text or a tweet that said, under no circumstances let Petrino trick Kelly Gramlich into a bike ride. I will not be getting on a motorcycle with Bobby Petrino, just to clarify.
I mean, I understand that. I understand that that's going to happen. I will say it is a little bit troubling the lengths to which you're willing to go to spend quality time with him, and he may have you right where he wants you. Okay. I just want you to be aware of that.
This is not quality time. This is an interview.
You just want to really pick his brain.
That I feel would be good radio.
You know, if he asks you to do some follow-up interviews later in his office, his bike is his office. Don't do it. It's a trap.
You took that a step further.
Yeah, I did.
Appreciate that.
I did. It's a trap. Yeah. Don't
all
do
right.
it.
Well, just reassuring people that won't be happening.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It legitimately, this thing on the side of the hotel, it says SEC, it just means more.
No.
It does.
They're still going with that.
Yeah. Channel 52 for your viewing pleasure. Because you're going to want to see this surprise too. I think it's 52 for you.
It may not be. Rarely tune into the SEC network. But, oh, we got Brett Bielema signing autographs.
Yeah, he's signing graphs, man. He's signing graphs. They probably are all pig calling him too. Because that's how they talk. The animal noises. Mercy sakes. Let's go to the phone. 654 Roars, the number on the Northland Communication phone line. Seminole Ted is up with us first on the program. You could join him. Hey, Ted, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Before I get into my 2 points, I will say that I don't drink I don't dance and I don't sing karaoke unless I just had too much to drink. Me dancing is like doing the white boy shuffle, or I'm the guy that in Kevin James's character in Hitch where Will Smith's like, let's see what you got. So I don't dance. But I wanted to, I really hope you guys get in front of DeAndre Francois and Derwin James both. Love the Dalvin Cook interview last year. I really want to see how Derwin James is going to battle back this year and how his leadership's going to affect the defense on the season coming up. One other thing, I think Brady's got to do something about Jim Johnson. They should have had a 3-1 series victory over the Nationals this past weekend. But once again, Jim Johnson just blows save number 7. This guy's just garbage. So I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate the phone call. You know, to the Braves point first, and then we'll go back to Francois and James, the idea that they were bringing Jim Johnson last year and that he would still be under contract for the following season, I think it was sort of a foreign concept. They took a flyer on him. If it worked, they were going to flip him. If it didn't, they'd probably just keep him. And I feel like they really would rather him be somewhere else. And they probably could handle him being somewhere else, if not for some injuries. Like, they got to wait for Vizcaino to come back, Rodas Vizcaino, who is probably the guy with the best potential as a closer of the Braves' young relievers. They've just got to get him healthy and do that. Right now, I feel like the worst thing you can do is take a team that's, you know, the best you're probably going to do is 500. They don't want to buy, but they also don't want to sell. You don't really want to spend a whole lot of capital trying to get better. You just want to kind of stay where you are. But Johnson's keeping you from wins right now. He really is keeping you from wins because he can't close down games. I was proved wrong last year when I said he was a disastrous signing, that I thought putting him in the ninth inning was the wrong move. He actually ended up being okay, better than I thought. And then this year, I've been proved right again where Johnson is a disaster and everyone wants to destroy this guy every time he goes to pitch. And to be honest, I don't know what the answer is until you get a little healthier in the bullpen. But the Braves played really well this weekend. More on that in Stockwatch coming up later in the show, because the Nationals, they kind of cursed themselves on Friday. Did you see what happened Friday with the Nats, Kelly? The Nats and the Braves game? The stunt they pulled? So I take it you weren't on the Braves Twitter this weekend?
Does it look like I saw it?
No.
Okay.
This is borderline unwritten rules territory, okay? Uh-oh. This is borderline unwritten rules territory, so we'll discuss. We'll discuss in Stockwatch. Also, as a side note, we don't even have to get into this because I want to get back to the Francois and James because I really want to talk to both of them.
They're high on our list.
The first segment of the DA show this morning, you know what they discussed? The Astros as the most dominant team in baseball. I mean, I'm just saying, I pointed out yesterday, then they win 19-1, and then DA's talking about how the Astros are the most dominant. I went back and forth with people about the Dodgers and whether if I'm a pitcher, I'm deathly afraid to face the Astros. I'm not deathly afraid of the Dodgers. That topic will come up later. Just throwing that out there.
We'll get to that in Stockwatch. I will say that no one's going to doubt you're the baseball expert on this show. However, every team I touch turns to gold. Every team I root for either wins a World Series, makes a World Series, best team in baseball. And I know when to jump off the bandwagon. Have you learned that?
Yes. Well, you... It's kind of funny.
It's all full bandwagon.
Every team I touch turns to gold. Maybe you only touch gold things. I was kind of wondering about that. Like with some of the turns gold, and you're
like, look
what happened.
Hey, before baseball even started last year, I picked the Cubbies to get the World Series.
This is true.
In my preview. And then this year, I was really high on the Strohs. I was still on that Cubbies bandwagon. But like I said, when something's burning, I feel the heat, I jump off. So I got off the Cubs bandwagon. Hop right on the Strohs bandwagon.
That makes sense to me.
Just saying.
The Astros, if you look at some of the numbers, and I won't get there, okay? I won't do it. If you look at some of the numbers that indicate how much better you are than the rest of the league, the Astros offense is at an ungodly level right now that is, just completely and totally eviscerating the rest of baseball. And half the rotation is hurt, and their bullpen is as good as the Dodgers. If you look at some of the peripheral numbers, the Astros have had a really unlucky bullpen this year based on the way that that's calculated. The Dodgers have been pretty average. The Astros are unlucky. Just leaving that alone. One of the things I'm trying to get better at is not drowning people in numbers. So for people who would like to do more research on that, you can just add me. I'll give you the numbers. Just add me.
Slide to the DMs.
But just look, I know people drown it. You just got to take my word for it then. You got to take my word for it. The Astros are in a godly amount ahead of every other offensive baseball.
All I want is for you to receive a tweet or a direct message that says, "Hey, Kwok, can I have the wins above replacement for every Astros outfielder?" And you guys can just have a great time.
Tell me more. We will. Tiger Tyler's up with us next on the phones as well. Hey, Tyler, what's going on?
What's going on, Kwok? Kelly, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Man, I haven't got the... tune into y'all in a while here lately, so I don't know what y'all been talking about, but I do have one thing that I want to ask you and Kelly about. A while back, I called in and asked y'all who y'all thought one of the most underrated pitchers in Major League is right now, and y'all kind of I like what y'all said, but I want to know who y'all think one of the best closers of today is, and mine right off the bat, I'm going to go with Craig Kimbrel. When he was with the Braves, that guy was golden. I mean he's got a weird stance, but I think he's still in the league, one of the best closers of today. And I just want to know what y'all think about that, and I'll take the answer off the air.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate the phone call. If you look at wins above, and this is how nerdy I am that I very quickly found this. If you look at wins above replacement for relief pitchers, Craig Kimbrel's number one, Kenley Jansen's number two, and among closers, I think Roberto Osuna is number three. In terms of who's underrated, Osuna and Corey Knebel from the Brewers are two guys that aren't widely known that are setting the world on fire right now. But Kimbrel has, totally and completely... he has outshone everybody in baseball by leaps and bounds. His earned run average right now is 1.19. His FIP, fielding independent percentage, is .78, which basically shouldn't be a thing. Essentially, he would have never, ever given up an earned run all year if it had not been for his fielders. If you look at some of those numbers, the guy has been overwhelming and dominant to this point, and there's nobody even in their class. If you look at wins above replacement, guess who is tied for fifth among regular active closers? Jim Johnson of the Braves. Now, recently he's been terrible, but early in the season he was doing well. He also has six wins, which some of that is blow a lead and then the Braves win it later on. His peripherals actually suggest that he's been a little bit unlucky, but Kimbrel's been the best closer in baseball. This is the best he's thrown. I always got a bad rap from people. I know you're not supposed to say that about yourself. People thought I hated Kimbrel. I just said when he's not throwing his breaking ball for strikes, he's a one-pitch guy, and you can hit his fastball. To me, I watched him. This is as nasty as he's ever been. I watched him the other day, and I thought, there's no way you're going to hit this guy. There's no way. It's like the Astros lineup. There's no way you're getting him out. Kimbrel is the Astros lineup. Kenley Jansen, all he throws is a cut fastball, and he's got a .96 ERA. I'd take either one of those guys.
No question. Back to Francois and Kelly, do you have any thoughts on this? You know, I just want to open it up to you. Sometimes I assume you don't have thoughts. You have thoughts here.
You pretty much took the words right out of my mouth.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the ability to speak for both of us for some reason on this matter. But as far as Florida State goes, they were at the top of my list of players to talk to other than the Clemson guys, which we need to make sure we get, with Tyrone Crowder, who, I mean, you can't get much more milquetoast than that, but he's probably going to be a decent interview. And Christian Wilkins.
I mean, as much as people wanted to see maybe, I don't know, Mitch Hyatt or Hunter Renfrow, guys like that, they're both similar to Crowder in terms of their interview style anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course, it'd be fun to ask Renfrow about national championship stuff and all that, but the point is you're looking towards 2017, and Crowder's one of your leaders. He's a senior. I mean, I don't mind the selection from Dabo. You're going to get plenty of quotes and plenty of fun interview from Christian Wilkins, so...
I would agree with that. I want to know from Francois what it was like as a first-year quarterback to get hit as many times as he was and continue to pop up and just where that toughness comes from. And then with James, the road back. Like, knowing you're a leader and you can't be out there in the offseason and all that. I hope that we get a good amount of time with both those guys because, to me, their stories are two of the most compelling outside of just your team's going to be really good. But just talking to both of them and trying to go over what it's like to be them and have walked in their shoes for the last 12 months, I feel like that's some of the most compelling stuff that's out there at ACC football kickoff. So I'm with Ted, and I know Ted wants to hear his Knowles on our station. I want to get some FaceTime with those guys just to pick their brains a little bit because as long as they're willing to engage, and most of these guys are, I think it could be really, really insightful.
Well, I mean, for example, last year our best interview besides the Clemson guys was probably Dalvin Cook. The way that he talked about his road and his injury struggles and all that. So I think it'll be really interesting. Obviously, Derwin James coming back and all that. Francois, to me, just being thrown in the fire, what he learned, how that will affect him this year, the departure of Dalvin Cook, how that has affected the offense, how does Cam Akers look? I mean, we can ask Jimbo that stuff as well. There's a lot of interesting Florida State storylines that really pertain to that I think a Clemson fan will be interested in because it really does pertain to that Atlantic Division and how good will Florida State be.
A couple years ago at Pinehurst, the best interview I had was Roberto Aguayo. Florida State's knocked it out of the park with their players. They do a good job coaching them up or they bring the right guys or whatever. The Aguayo interview, that might be the best I've ever done. I had him for an extended period of time. It was late in the day. I think he had a cancellation or maybe an open spot after we were done. We talked for like 12 minutes about kicking and about leadership and about focus and about Clemson and about whatever. We talked about 100 things. He was awesome. Best player interview I've done in the 5 or so years I've been at ACC football kickoff doing radio.
Last year we had Zaire Franklin, Syracuse linebacker.
Yeah, he was really good.
And he's back again this year. Maybe we'll get him again because sometimes you just don't expect some of these guys to be so good. Him and Rogers, the Virginia Tech fullback, who actually ended up being a big piece for them this year.
Yes, Sam.
We were joking. Why are they giving us a fullback? But no, he was actually a big-time player for them. So you never know. Some of these interviews, sometimes the biggest names aren't always the best interviews.
I could be wrong about this. I think this will be Zaire's third year.
Maybe.
I think I'm pretty sure that we had a running conversation from 2 years ago to last year and that this is his third year.
About 2K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. So we'll you know, I might need to explore that with him. All right, 654 Roar, you want to get with us? We haven't even touched on the Lawrences yet. For goodness sakes. We'll get to the Lawrences. The most important Lawrence long term for Clemson. Kelly's got thoughts. We'll get to that as Hour One continues in a moment.
Rely on EnviroMulch. They supply quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their spring special, get double ground hardwood mulch for $1 off per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch, go Tigers!
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
If you're a CDL driver looking for a proven company to work for, Hycon Transportation is looking for you. Hycon is a family-owned company that's doubled in size over the past 2 years, and they need quality drivers now. Round-trip dedicated, local, low overnight stays, 40 cents per mile, earned monthly bonuses, and more. With a 100% track record with highly reputable and recognizable companies, Hycon Transportation is a safe bet for your career. Email your qualifications to recruiting at HycotTransport.com or call 864-540-8194.
A need to travel? Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla has the area's best prices on new Ford trucks, cars, and SUVs. In business for over 50 years, shop Edwards Auto Sales for all your automotive needs.
Anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements, no one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. Factory to you! And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
You've been in business almost 100 years. You've been doing something right. Since 1917, the key to Harbin Lumber's success has rested on its hardworking employees, people just like you, providing top lumber, building supplies, and contract services. You can be confident in customer service and support you can trust for your project, whether construction or large remodeling jobs. Call 353-5053. Find us on Facebook or online at harbinlumber.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be, well, like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. With its powerful technology, ZipRecruiter distributes your job everywhere it needs to be to find the right candidates. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just one day. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
Used by businesses of all sizes, ZipRecruiter offers the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/score. That's ZipRecruiter.com/score for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/score.
WCCP.
You know how we roll.
Bye-bye, commercials.
Bye-bye, commercials.
105.5 The Roar.
Get jazzy on one that flight that you get on. International. First class seat on my lap, girl. Bright and comfortable. Cause I know what that girl them need. New York to Haiti. I got lipstick stamps on my passport. You make it hard to leave. Been around the world, don't speak the language. But your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you talk dirty to me.
It's the best combination of break and conversation and intro song that we've had in quite some time. It's amazing what you find on Twitter and where that goes. Oh, mercy. Which Lawrence is the best Lawrence? That's the topic of discussion right now. We have a poll out on our Twitter at 105.5 The Roar during Out of Bounds. And the question is very simple and basic. It is, Kelly, do you have it up right now?
I do.
Okay. You want to read it and just make sure?
Yes, you can go on the Twitter webs at 105.5 The Roar. Our poll for today, over the next three seasons, all right, so the 2017 season, 2018 season, 2019 season, which Lawrence will have a bigger impact at Clemson. Now, if all goes to plan, we would assume that each Lawrence will have played in two of those seasons. So Dexter Lawrence will play in 2017 and 2018, and then Trevor in 18 and 19, we assume. And actually, right now, Kwok, over 100 votes already, 50-50 Dexter and Trevor.
50-50? How about that?
Absolutely 50-50. I think it's a really interesting discussion, and so much so that I wrote a column on it this week, orangeandwhite.com, if you want to check it out. The main thing is, all I've heard recently, and I think a lot of this stemmed from you as well, Kwok, because you're the one who's calling Trevor LeBron James, right? So,
yeah.
There's all this idea that Trevor Lawrence is the savior, right? For a program that doesn't need saving by any means, but kind of the guy that can continue what Clemson has built and lead it down the same path to more national titles, right? That's the idea. And mainly because he does play quarterback, which is the most important position. You're replacing the greatest player in your school's history, in my opinion, in Deshaun Watson. And he is the number one quarterback in the country, the highest rated quarterback recruit Clemson's ever had, right? So I get all that. I fully understand. My main thing is there's still a gap, okay? There's still this 2017 season and the 2018 season when he's going to be a true freshman. Now, let's think back. Even when Deshaun Watson was a true freshman, he was not yet Deshaun Watson. He had moments of complete and utter greatness, right? And he also had the injury issues, and he had some moments where he looked like a freshman. That's naturally what happens. Now, he also had the South Carolina game and those games where he was just great. So my point is, even Deshaun Watson was not his ultimate level, the savior level, quote unquote, if for lack of a better term, when he was a freshman. So 2017, no Trevor Lawrence. 2018, freshman Trevor Lawrence. My argument is Dexter Lawrence is the more important Lawrence for the next 3 years. That's my point. Because if Clemson is to stay where it is, one of the few kings of college football, truly cement itself in that untouchable category, the main way they're going to do it, especially this year, is defensively and on the defensive line. One of the best D-lines in the country. And the other part, too, is Carlos Watkins is gone. And Carlos Watkins led this team in tackles for loss and sacks this past year. He was kind of under the radar. He wasn't as big of a name as Christian Wilkins or even Dexter Lawrence or Cleland Farrell towards the end of the year. But he was so important. And so my main thing here is the next 2 years, Lawrence's ability to not just be Carlos Watkins, but surpass Carlos Watkins and be the most dominant defensive tackle in college football will be the key for Clemson to continue this success. I think back to 2014 when Deshaun Watson did get hurt. Why did the Tigers still win 10 games? Because of that defense. I mean, think back to the Louisville game in Death Valley when Clemson literally the only offense they had was an Adam Humphries punt return and I think one more touchdown or two more field goals. And it was all the defense. So the idea here is Dexter Lawrence is the key for which this program needs in order to stay at the top to kind of bide some time before Trevor Lawrence comes in. And over the next 3 years, that key is not even Trevor when he's a freshman. It's going to be Dexter Lawrence as a sophomore and Dexter Lawrence as a junior.
All right, so let me a couple things on this. My initial thought was, you know, how important can Dexter Lawrence be when you've got all these other really talented guys ahead of him?
And I wouldn't say ahead of him.
Well, and that's the point right there.
Remember, that's where we disagree.
Right. Well, I might be on an island on this because I saw two things this weekend that made me think that maybe I'm just totally misreading the value of Christian Wilkins in the marketplace, especially relative to Dexter Lawrence. The two different things, and we can, you know, Trevor Lawrence is a totally different discussion. I think we got to establish how people generally feel, because ultimately there are outside voices and outside pens and paper, outside typewriters that are going to write quills and parchment that are gonna tell us which one was more valuable.
Sure.
That's how we're going to make that a determination, people like us. The 10 best defensive players in college football this season, this is Sports Illustrated from Thursday. Number 10 is actually Malik Jefferson from Texas. Number 9 is Dexter Lawrence for next season. Tavares McFadden, Florida State. Iman Marshall from USC. Rashawn Gary from Michigan. Coincidentally, also in a Dexter Lawrence class, and also Clemson was a finalist there. Arden Key from LSU. That's my guy. Harold Landry, Boston College. Minka Fitzpatrick, Alabama. Derwin James, Florida State. Ned Oliver, Houston.
So they don't have Christian Wilkins on the list.
They do not have Wilkins on the list. Then we get to this, and I want to cycle back to this at some point because remember I said that Clemson recruits freaks, and that's a big deal. You've got the top 40 workout warriors in college football, and it's the 2017 freaks list. This is Bruce Feldman who compiled this, all right? This is the top 40 workout warriors, and some of them, they have, like, their numbers, what they bench, what they squat, and all that. Some of them, they have videos of them doing freakish things. Like, there are a number of different ways here. And a lot of different schools are represented in this list of 40 players. There's only one school that's represented by three players, and it will shock you what school that is. It will legitimately shock you and maybe rethink some of your skepticism about this school going forward this year and into the future. But on this list are two Clemson players. One is Dexter Lawrence, and one is Christian Wilkins. Now, both of them are ranked very highly on this list. Christian Wilkins ranked number 9, and included is the video of him doing the split in the natty, and that's a big deal, right? He's number 9. Dexter Lawrence is?
Ahead of him.
2.
Yeah.
The number 2 biggest freak in the country, and it says things like he clocked a 4.940 and a 10-yard split at 1.7. Since reporting to Clemson a year ago, which is essentially what Joey Bosa did in terms of a 10-yard split at 269 pounds, he's at like 340. So he's running like a defensive end at 340 pounds. That's the kind of stuff that you're getting from Lawrence. So in both of those lists, they value in very different ways, just top player, freak. Top player, freak. They value Lawrence over Wilkins. I think that's very interesting that you had two different lists with two very different criteria that put Lawrence ahead. And so maybe I've been thinking of this all wrong the whole time.
Here's the other part, too. Let's look forward to the 2018 season. Now, I know somewhere Don Munson is turning us off because he's, you know, one game at a time, and I get that. But let's look at 2018. All right, Christian Wilkins, gone. Austin Bryant, we assume, gone. Cleveland Farrell, we assume, gone. It's literally going to be Dexter Lawrence and his little brothers, right? Talented guys, nonetheless, but it's going to be Dexter Lawrence.
The Seven Dwarves.
To anchor that line.
Yeah.
And so that's another big part for me as well. Dexter Lawrence has 2 more years to make an impact. He already, I mean, Clemson doesn't win a national title without him. I firmly believe that last year. The way he played as a freshman, when you look at how he played in the big games, Kwok, we call him Big Dex. What about big game Dex? Okay, Auburn, 10 tackles. His first game as a Tiger, his first college game. Auburn, 10 tackles, a sack, and a pass breakup. Florida State, 5 tackles and a sack. ACC Championship, 2 sacks. National title, 4 tackles and 2 quarterback pressures. I mean, the guy plays his best in the big moments. He has that Deshaun Watson factor, that it factor of showing up in big games and being way above his age in terms of talent and ability and poise. So for me, because like I said, this year the line's going to be completely loaded. But that next year, again, we're talking preserving Clemson's spot at the top of the mountain. Trevor Lawrence can't do everything. He's right. Not going to be the end-all, be-all. He's not just going to fix everything. Not that everything's broken again. But when you lose Bryant, Farrell, and Wilkins all at the same time, Dexter Lawrence is going to be ever so important in 2018, as much as he is as important in 2017 this year, to really anchor the defensive tackle position.
Oh, no question.
That's my main point here.
There's no question.
And I'm not trying to devalue Trevor Lawrence by any means at all. I'm just saying, I think, especially for a guy that hasn't even played a snap at Clemson, right? We're forgetting, to me, the most important Lawrence over the next 3 years is going to be Dexter. That's all I'm saying.
And it may well be, especially when you consider playing time. And I want to discuss that. You know, we'll continue to get your thoughts on this on Twitter throughout the show today. We'll kind of sprinkle it in as we talk about some other things as well. But one thing is, when is Trevor Lawrence going to be the starting quarterback? That's
a
big
know.
Thing. Because Dexter Lawrence made an immediate impact and will have 2 more years to do so. Is Trevor Lawrence going to be the starting quarterback from day one?
From what we think, let's say Clemson plays 13 or 14 games over the next 2 years each. I mean, Dexter Lawrence still has 30 more starts ahead of him. That's a generous number, but 30 more that we know are going to happen, you know, not pending injury, knock on something. But we still don't know. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, we don't know. He could not start till 2019. Now, he's a freak and he's great, but Hunter Johnson's great too. who knows? So the other point there is we know that Clemson will need to and will without a doubt rely on Dexter Lawrence to anchor that line for the next two seasons, no matter what.
You're going to have two tackles playing at all times, and you're going to have one quarterback. There's another one. All right, hour one is done. Boy, this thing flew by. Hour two, we'll get back to this discussion in a little bit. Also, the SEC media days, we've got to get to this. Who is the second best basically everything in the league? And we've gotten some pushback on who's the best quarterback. I would agree with the pushback here, so we'll discuss that as hour two of Out of Bounds begins in moments.